Sports with Katie Nolan is fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade, they're there to fuel it. Greatness starts with G. They did cut him a break. Tim Tebow can catch a break. Just not a pass. Hello? Press passes? It's because they're hanging in front of me. I save them. Why do we all save lanyards? I don't know, but I have all of them, and they're pretty cool. Welcome to Sports is what I meant to say next. It's the podcast that ends with a question mark, starts with a question. I'm Katie Nolan, illustrious host. She's Christina.
Whoa. Hi.
I don't know why. It's like that in the dock, and I'm Ron Burgundy. She's Christina.
Hi.
He's Travis.
What's going on? I changed it up.
Why did you change it up? Who asked you to change? Of all the things in the dock to change up, you changed that up?
Because the other voicemail last week was saying it's always Travis and Christina, so I wanted to, you know.
Oh, wow. He actually has a reason.
How thoughtful.
That feels like performative change, Travis, but we can get to what that is after the voicemail, which is, this is it. Here's today's question.
Hi, Katie, Christina, and Travis. This is Ben living in Boston. So I've kind of got a little crush on a bartender at my local watering hole, and I think there's at least a little something on her end,
too.
Now, Katie, as a woman who used to be a bartender, I'm sure you had to deal with this situation before. And my question is there a way that I can give her my number or ask for hers without embarrassing her or bringing unwanted attention to her while she's trying to work? Or is this something that I should forget about and just be happy that I found a good bartender at a good bar that I have a rapport with?
Yes.
Thanks a lot. Love you. Mean it. Bye.
Ben, I love you and I mean it, and I want you to look at me. Look at me. Eye contact. You and I are going to make it through this. I'm going to give you some tough love here. I'm going to be honest with you, but it's because I love you and I mean it. Option B is what you should do. You should be grateful that you have a good bartender that you have rapport with, and you should, if it's like a bar in your neighborhood that you enjoy going to, if this person is very interested in you and you don't make a move, but you're flirting. It sounds like you guys are flirting. You stay flirty. If they really want it, they'll start to drop hints. And then you can decide. It's kind of like dating a friend where you're like, I'm sacrificing something a lot of people don't have, a really good friendship. For you, it's a really good bar with a bartender who at least has facial recognition of them and a moderate interest in their needs and thoughts. That's depending, again, on where you live, because, you know, you never really know. If you live in like a college town that's hard to find, maybe it's easy for you where you're at. But this sounds like a pretty cool situation that you have. If you decide to take the risk, I will give you one piece of advice, and that is when she is at work, don't make it seem like you are treating it like you're on a date. Does that make sense? Don't show up at my work and sit at the bar and kind of hold me to the expectations of girlfriend / hold yourself to the expectations of boyfriend before we've even breached. It's like a lot of people use it as a substitute of like, they know where to find you. It's in a social setting. They can come eat a meal and there's no way for her to not be interested. Like if she wasn't interested, it'd be bad service, which is against her job. It's her job to give you good service. So just if you are going to take the leap, be conscious of keeping those two things separate, your potential romantic interest in her and her duty to have to stand there and serve you and talk to you in order for her to make a living. That's all I'll ask. There are ways to do it. You could slip her a note, but you have to be very like, I realize in this moment you are essentially backed into a corner. You are not physically backing her into a corner, but if there is no interest from her and you ask too aggressively, you are backing her into a corner because there's no way to be like, oh man, this guy knows that I'm going to be here all the time. I like this job. He seems fine. You know, you don't want to, just don't back her into a corner. You both are being quiet. Am I being too harsh?
No, I think one thing that might be is that he needs to find out without make it obvious if she's even single, first of all. We need to establish if Like, because she may not.
And there's more subtle ways to do it than, so you got a boyfriend?
Yeah, no. One little sneaky way, maybe hop on Bumble and drop that mileage down to under 1 mile and see if her profile pops up.
Oh, that's sneaky, not a bad idea. But I like it. Not a bad idea. Look, I'm telling you, if the girl is interested, she'll find a way. I made sure Dan knew I was single. Let's say that. I made sure he knew. I like kept bringing it up in conversation in what I thought at the time were subtle ways that now I'm like, nah, I don't think I'm being subtle. I basically was like, yeah, well, I don't have anyone. I have no one. How are you?
Hi,
I have no one.
I'm alone. Did I say that? I'm alone. Yeah. No, I think
she'll put the vibes out, but you just gotta listen. Men, honestly, listen. We tell you most things. We are telling you most things. Just listen.
The problem is it's the listening and then also putting the two and two together and be like, okay, I'm hearing what she's saying. Oh, that's what she's meaning. And we're not always the best at that.
I know you're not. I know, but you can.
To Katie's point of deciphering whether or not she's being overly nice because she's in a position of, if I'm nice to you, you give me tips and you pay me well and I make a living off of this. When you work in that sort of industry, sometimes people are overly nice. And so you need to decide whether or not you're mistaking this connection for her just being nice and being good at her job versus is she actually reciprocating what you might be feeling. I've been in a situation where one of my guy friends did this exact same thing, asked out a local bartender. It was a bar that we frequented all the time, our favorite place. They went on a few dates and it didn't work out. He took it really hard. Didn't go to that bar again.
And then you lose the bar.
Exactly. It ruined
the bar.
And now
you lose the bar.
Because she's not going to quit her job just because this is a bar you go to frequently and now it didn't work out.
And if it didn't upset her, she could see him. He can't see her. Yeah. You just have to take all of that into play. And I'm not saying like paralyze yourself with indecision. I'm just saying think through it. Make sure you've got the emotional. You said you're in Boston, right? My instinct is saying that it may not be mutual, but I don't know. I'm not there, and I can't tell you that. All I can say is there's no harm, no foul if you're respectful and mature.
Yes.
Just don't take a swing that you're later going to be like, why'd I do that? Just be measured about it. Just be honestly mature about it. I'm trying to think of the times that it... Because look, this is not me bragging about myself. Can I please just speak honestly without having to qualify it by saying that I know that I'm not a prize. But I had guys hit on me when I was a bartender. It's something about, like, I've said this about men. If you take a guy that you would normally deem, even through personality and looks, I'm not rating people, but, like, let's say they're a 7 on whatever your personal scale is in your brain, and you put them behind a bar, they could get to a 10. It's something about they're in control of a room. They're, like, watching people do their jobs, if they're good at them, is attractive. Like, watching an athlete play sports, if that's the kind of thing you're into. Watching Dan do comedy for me, I'm like, man, it's been a really long time. I want to go watch him do comedy again because he's good at it and I find that attractive. So, but watching a bartender be personable and charm an entire bar can make them seem more attractive to you. But you don't
that's
know this person as well as it might feel like you do, which is the point of, and it doesn't make them a liar. It makes them good at their job. When you go to a bar, you want to relax and be comfortable and feel like you're with somebody that you can talk to if you want to. You don't have to talk to if you don't want to. It's a delicate dance, and being good at it is difficult. My point was, I was trying to remember if there was anybody that had ever worked.
Don't put your number on the receipt.
Or like on a napkin, it over.
But put a note. But you'd have to write a note. It would have to be like, I don't want to bother you about this at work, but I would like to see you outside of work.
Yeah, you would have to make it known that it's not like a, hey, you're hot, here's my number kind of thing.
It's respectful. Exactly. Yeah. I've gotten guys that write mean things on the receipt to try to get you to call them, and you're like, what in the world? You can't neg me.
Here's an insult, but go out with me. What?
You can barely do it in person. There's no way negging works in written form. Please don't try this again. The only time I've ever given my number to somebody who asked is because I felt like if I I couldn't come up with a good way to say no.
Or I don't know how to say no, and I'm holding my phone, and I'm like,
I don't want them to think I'm a big meanie, so I do it. And then later I'm like, well, I'm just going to not respond, so now I'm a meanie too, so...
I'm jealous that Ben has like a local watering hole that he can go to and like rapport with the bartender. I wish I had a bar here that like I go to and like you walk in and the bartender already knows
you.
You
could find one, Travis.
There's gotta be one. I know like Bristol is the size of like your hand, so there's nothing in that area, but there's gotta be something somewhere around.
Yeah, I mean the second line of Cheers that people forget is, and they're always glad you came. And if your bartender knows your name and you date them and then you guys break up, I don't know that the bar staff is going to be glad you came. So just keep that in mind. He gets it. He's from Boston. He knows.
Yeah, because then you're breaking up with the entire bar, not just her or him.
I wish you the best, Ben. You sound very charming and probably handsome. I don't know. But I know the best will happen for you.
I do want him to like at least... go for it so he doesn't think like regret it.
You know what he's gonna do? He's gonna write on a note, listen to this podcast at this timestamp. She's gonna listen to it and be like, oh boy, I gotta quit my job.
Yeah, she quits her job, he never goes back to that bar again. There we go.
Oh man, I miss it sometimes and then other times I don't. Isn't that nice?
Go for it, Ben.
Isn't that true of most things? What, Travis? You can't at the very end of everything say the opposite of the thing.
Contradict everything we just laid out.
I'm not saying just make it awkward or everything, but find enough information. Find out if she's single, and then
don't ask too many people though. Don't ask a cocktail server if she's single, because then she's just gonna gossip about you over the French fries in the
back. But if you are friends with somebody else there, then maybe they can somehow.
Oh, that's in second grade. My friend wants to know if your friend is single.
Or my friend over there thinks you're cute. No.
Do you want to date me? Yes, no, circle one.
I think that listen, as no. George Strait, check
Ben,
yes or no.
Don't listen.
I mean,
Ben, I know I just told you to listen, but don't listen to Travis.
Listen to George Strait. Check yes or no. Just saying.
You just did that thing where you referenced something respected so that I can't attack your take, but it's not
you attack
George Strait's
me, you're attacking the king, and then you lose.
No, it's a bad take. Well, that's the... Ben, thank you for calling, and I hope this is one of those situations where
you
called and... No, well, or don't ask. I mean, both are fine.
Let us know either way.
Yeah, let us know, I guess. Travis listens to these now, so he will actually be looking for an update from you, Ben. If you have a question or somebody who works in
I should just call Ben. I have his number.
That you want to date, you can always leave us a voicemail. It's 860-506-5571. Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Back on Thursday.
Here we are.
I know it's Wednesday for us, but we've been recording it on Thursday and then putting them out on like Friday. And then now people who are listening to this, it's on Thursday now.
Ta-da!
How are you? How are things?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine.
Fine.
Christina,
I'm all right. I'm good.
Your eye makeup looks different today.
Mine?
Is it?
I just have mascara and nothing else. So maybe that's why.
That's it. Mascara has stopped working for me. It straightens my eyelashes now.
Really?
I don't know what's up with my body chemistry, but I will curl them. They'll be curled. I'll put mascara on and they'll go straight.
Huh.
It's annoying, especially because everybody and their mother has eyelash extensions now, and I haven't put on a fake eyelash in
I've worn fake eyelashes once.
I miss them.
I never know how to put them on. Once I put them on,
I don't either, but when somebody puts them on for me, they look so much better on television than just your regular human eyelashes.
Go ahead,
Travis. Yep. Get through the sentence. You got this.
The eyelash like clamp thing. I don't know. Understand how anybody that uses those like
once you've used it enough times. The first few times are scary.
Yeah, you feel like you're
the first
rip
few
out
times
all
you get
eyelashes.
A speech from whatever person taught you to use it, and they're like, "Okay, now if this hurts, say something." But you want to push it right, and then it becomes muscle memory. Then you're just like, "Ah, get those curled."
I love how though this is a sign of just like when we do this podcast, we're just throwing on random clothes. It's like the slightest little makeup or something of someone, a haircut, and it's like, oh, you look really nice today.
Different.
If I put on even just like tinted moisturizer, Travis is like, you don't look awful today. I'm like, thank you so much.
You've got your life together.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today it was, I had TV. I overslept today. I woke up to Dan being like, hey, you know, it's 10 o'clock. And I was like, certainly not, as I am still sleeping.
I thought you sleep till like 11.
I usually do, but when Highly Questionable's on, it films at noon.
Oh.
So I have to, you know, find out what we're talking about, figure out what my dumb ass is going to say on a show with two smarties, find out what's funny about it, and then get myself looking, I'm not even fully, I still slack off on getting myself ready. I need to get my hair cut, you guys. I think I've said it enough now that I think next week it's going to be cut. It's just at the point now where it's so long you can tell it's not a person who hasn't gotten their hair cut. It's a person who is like not trying not to get their hair cut. Like I look like it's a problem.
Yeah, like now you actually just
hangs
have
off
to.
My head. Yeah, I look like a 12-year-old who's like, your parents aren't taking good care of you. Go get your hair cut. So I have to go do that. And I will. What else?
So I got on Facebook today.
Okay.
We're in friendly banter now.
How is it there? Yeah, we've been in friendly banter. We already entered. Friendly banter the second we say hello. There used to be a cage door that would slide open and or closed, but that's all right, TMP. Go ahead.
It's the first day back for school for my brother's kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And the oldest one is a freshman in high school, and I'm not doing well.
Why?
Because it makes me feel old.
Because it makes you feel old?
See, when you put freshman,
seventh grade, and fourth grade.
When you put freshman, I thought you meant freshman in college. And two of my little cousins, who I still call them little, because in my mind, they are still children. They're both entering college.
Christina, you're still a child.
Yeah, but Christina,
watch your mouth.
I'm what, 12 years
older than
them? Go
to your room,
Christina. That still feels like I'm so much older. I'm 12 years older. Right?
Okay, no TV privileges for you this week, okay?
I'm bad at math.
You're going to bed early tonight.
But they're entering college this week, both moving into dorm rooms, and I feel very old.
Yeah. I don't have any nephews or nieces yet, and boy, am I grateful for that. But at some point, I'm also going to be begging my brother to hurry up and give the family a niece or nephew, because then my mom will stop looking at me. You know?
Yeah, deflection.
That's a fun dance.
You gave a Myrtle.
Like, hey, you got one. Travis, if I could tell you how many times I've used that argument, I'm like, but we've got Myrtle. And my mom really does love Myrtle. But I don't know, watching old home movies when I was looking for all that rhythmic gymnastics stuff, I saw so many clips of like my mom with me as a baby, and man, my mom's great with a baby.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't recognize that in me, but she is so good at taking care of a baby, which might explain a few things about me, you know? It might explain why I'm such a baby.
And then for some reason, my niece, the school that she's in, they don't go to school till, it doesn't start till 9.
Isn't that what it always was? I don't have any memory for this stuff.
Mine was, once I got to middle school, it was 7:35.
Yeah, I was going to say, I waking up very early at like 6 a.m. to get ready for
school. It was always weirder because it was older, it was later, it was earlier the older you got.
Yeah.
And every study of like adolescent sleep patterns is that like you need it more.
And children naturally wake up earlier anyway, so it
it seems backwards, but I'm sure there's a reason that makes sense, like work and stuff, like dropping kids. I don't know. Either way, waking up early for school, man, I probably made it to homeroom 4 times in high school.
So I never had an issue, and this just shows the sports nerd that I was. I would wake up at 6 a.m., go downstairs and watch SportsCenter and get dressed like during the commercial breaks and then leave at 7.
Yeah. I feel like that's all my memories of SportsCenter are from getting ready for school in the morning. I've told the story before about how my brother ran down the stairs because my dad was like, Kev, top 10's on. And my brother ran down the stairs and slipped and fell and cracked his skull on the wall.
Oh my God.
And I was getting ready for school. And this was back when my mom cut my hair to be, you know, really short, and so getting ready meant that my mom had to blow dry it. She had to blow dry it into this coif, otherwise I just looked like a beetle. Mm-hmm. not the bug, the singer. And so I didn't know how to do it, but my mom did. And so I remember this hating myself for it as I was doing it. But my brother was being carted off to the hospital, and I was like, who's going to do my hair? Like, do you understand? I get teased relentlessly for this every day when it's done perfectly.
Like,
if I go to school like this, I'm going to get laughed out of the building. I understand Kevin might be in pain, but you gave me, you signed up for this life, lady. You said my hair was going to be like this. And when you said that, when you made that decision, you signed yourself up for a life where, yes, doing your daughter's hair has to take precedent because she's already getting made fun of relentlessly as it is.
That's why you should have went and fell down the stairs and cracked your skull open.
That's probably why I threw myself down the stairs when I hurt my ankle, because I was like, well, they seem to take, they buy this one.
Exactly. So. They buy injury, so.
They buy this.
Yeah, I would have been late for school every morning. But by the time I was able to drive myself, I was a senior in high school. My parents got me my first car.
We just had nowhere to park.
We had plenty of parking, but my sister, she's 3 years younger than me. So she was a freshman at the time. So by the time I was able to start driving, I could have somebody else in the car. So I would drive my sister to school with me every morning. We are the exact opposite. She needs to be there 20 minutes early. She's a straight A student, like 5.0. Mm. She's like super, super smart. I didn't really take that approach. And so on the way to school, she would be like, we have to go faster. We have to get there. We're going to be late. Oh my God. Like, why are you going so slow? Why are you dilly-dallying? So one morning I remember...
Because it's
Because why? I don't want to be there. So
because I'm dreading walking into
this
it.
This just perfectly explains how little I cared and how much she cared. We're on the way to school. I hit a bump and I get a flat tire. And I know that I'm driving on a flat tire. And so I asked my sister, I said, hey, can you poke your head out the window and see if the front tire is flat? Because I don't know what I'm going to be able to do about this. And she was like, no, I'm going to miss homeroom. Like, we've got to get there. Okay, fine. So we're like right at the bottom of my school's driveway. I make it up to the top, but just barely. I don't even have time to turn the car off and ask my sister for help. She's already out the car running to like through the front doors of the school. So she's not late for homeroom. Not late for homeroom. Meanwhile, I'm like, don't worry. I've got the flat tire, I guess. So I walked inside and was like, hey, can someone help me with this flat tire? I wasn't even able to park my car in my parking spot because I couldn't get it in there. And they were like, yeah, we're going to have to.
I hate that I watch so much TV that as you're telling this story, all I can hear is that stupid gecko going, somebody help me. I have a flat tire.
You said my parking spot?
Yeah. We had designated park.
Did you actually have like a reserve?
Yeah,
I think seniors.
Well,
did
only
it
because.
Oh, so no, we didn't.
Well, also high school was so small. I graduated with like 90 something people. Man. So we
oh
didn't
my God.
Have that many parking. Like we didn't need that much parking to begin with anyway. So.
Oh my God.
Our school, the freshmen or underclassmen, if you could drive, had to park in the back, and I think seniors and juniors were out in the front.
Yeah, I didn't have a very big high school.
I remember renting a spot from a person who lived next to the school and like parking in there. These people would just sell spots in their driveway.
Whoa.
That's unreal.
Yeah. I mean, I went to a big high school. We used to be a north and a south. And then by the time I went there, we weren't anymore. So.
Wow.
It was a big school. But what were we talking about?
Oh.
Being a freshman?
Well, I'll let you know what happened to me yesterday.
Okay, let's hear it.
So...
Oh my God, I just read it. How little?
Little as, I don't know how old, but I would say under 5 for sure.
Okay, tell the story.
So I care so little about my appearance when I go out in public. For you, the listeners, you can't see. I wear these same red sweatpants that I have on right now. These right there.
Same with me, but mine are black.
I wear these same red Adidas, like, I don't know, old sweatpants that I've had for God knows how long. I wear like ripped t-shirts, mismatched, fuzzy socks, slippers. I don't care.
I hate that.
I don't care about.
You hate it? Why do you hate it?
I hate when people wear different socks. You need to wear the matching socks.
Matching,
don't wear a yellow sock and a green sock.
Like, mismatch. Like I don't match my t-shirts to my sweatpants. I don't care. I'm going to the grocery store and I'm just there to get my stuff and get out. So
yeah,
I was wearing these sweatpants. I had on like my boyfriend's baggy t-shirt and slippers. My hair's a mess. I have no makeup on. I get in the elevator from my apartment building And I'm on the third floor, so we stop on the second, and a mom and two of her children get in. Baby, and had to have been a child between 1 and 4, 1 and 5. It was walking and talking. So
okay.
I'm standing in there, and I could already tell that the mom and the daughter, that the kid had been, like, arguing about something, because she's pouting, and mom is saying, you know, it'll be fine, you're fine. We get out, and we're walking through the lobby, and I hear the little girl go, but she's wearing her PJs in public.
Oh, my God. And I went, that's a great point. Huh? That kid's going to be a lawyer.
Went, what? Yeah, we'll play what's kid. Up?
So I turned around, and her mom.
You got something to say? Her mom goes, say it to my face.
Oh, fight me. Oh, I'm sorry. And I went, oh, no.
I'll knock you out.
I'm wearing my slippers because indeed I am wearing my PJs in public.
Yes, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. But
you should be apologizing to the mom. You should have turned around and been like, oh, sorry. I bet when you guys saw me coming, you were like, that's not going to help my argument. So this grown lady is dressed in her pajamas after we just fought.
I was like, am I offended? And then I was like, you know what? No, I am not offended, because I give that little girl credit. She saw what she mm-hmm. wanted, which is what I was wearing, mm-hmm. and said, mom, look at mm-hmm. that. Why can't I be that? I yep. respect it.
Yeah, I would have gotten grounded for talking back. But it's like, but I'm making a valid point. Yeah, this woman is wearing her pajamas.
Clearly, she's a grown woman, and she's wearing her PJs in public. Why can't I?
At first, when I saw this on the rundown, I had one take. Mm-hmm. I now have a different take. And the take is, you are still in your apartment building.
Uh-huh.
That is not public. You could have been going out to your car.
That doesn't count at all. Yeah.
That's not out in public. You could have been going to your car to get something.
We were like walking out into like the parking lot area. Like, we were going out into the public area.
Yeah, but had you, like, if you were at the grocery store and this kid said it, then I would be like, all right.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I mean,
might have a point,
she, like,
but you're
saying,
still.
Yeah, but even still, it doesn't, look, let me tell you, what hurts is when it comes out of nowhere and it's from middle school-aged kids. Oh. Middle school, no. Groups of middle school-aged kids,
me.
If you can avoid walking past them, please do, because I remember 4th of July, a couple years ago, I was, like, trying to hype myself up to go out because I really didn't want to, and I was in Hoboken, and I'd have to go all by myself into the city to meet people who had been drinking all day. So I had to give myself, like, a, come on, Katie, go do this. And so I made myself, I got all cute. I got, like, festively cute. I, like, did my makeup. My hair was curled. But I was like, take a shot. Be confident. And I walked out of my house to get my Uber, and, like, 4 or 5 middle schoolers on bikes rode by.
No.
And one kid laughed really loud. And then another kid goes, you're so ugly. And then they kept
Jesus.
Riding by. And I just stopped in the middle of the street and was like,
oh,
do I turn around and go home?
My God.
Because it wasn't, but you have to remember that that's the evolution of children. You get to an age where you find out that your words mean stuff, but you don't yet realize that you shouldn't just constantly have an effect on people that you don't know. It stayed with me. It hurt a lot. It hurt even more that it was probably the exact same group of kids who made fun of me when I was their age. But then I just was like, go get drunk, and I did. So don't do that. I'm
drink
like, this wasn't
it.
Like
drink
a this wasn't like do what I do. This is learn from my mistakes. But man, yeah, if I had a little kid say I was in my PJs, I would laugh, because I've been through. Now that you know what I've been through,
yeah, that's rough.
When I got my first vaccine shot, I got it in my car, so I assumed second dose. Team Moderna, what up? That I was going to get the shot in my car again. So I was wearing some sweatshorts and a t-shirt. Wasn't looking like a scrub, but it definitely wasn't.
You didn't
dress
for
public.
Yeah.
And the second shot, you had to go inside.
Mm.
And I didn't appreciate the lack of a heads up.
Oh,
they should have put on the little card.
And I bet you let them know.
No, I didn't.
At least, but, you had, like,
at least you didn't have any middle schoolers around to say you were ugly.
The world is different post-COVID, and we're not even post yet. But, like, I used to, at the beginning, I would be putting on jeans every time. I still try to put on jeans every time I go to the dog park, which is now why when I put jeans on, Myrtle goes nuts. I'm like, I gotta normalize jeans in this house, because she just thinks it means she gets to go play with other dogs. But I used to put them on when I walked her, and then I got to a point where I'm like, okay, if anyone has something to say about me doing a lap around my apartment in sweatpants and Adidas slides, then they can call me. They can take it up with me.
I care so little about, like, I've always worn what I wanted. I haven't, like, I have such a different style of clothing than, like, my sister, my mom, some of my best friends. I don't care what, if I'm comfortable, my first and foremost, if I'm comfortable, then I don't care. As long as I like what I'm wearing, I'm comfortable.
I just know I need
I'm
to
good.
Start developing a personal style that can evolve because I don't have it. Whenever I have to go to a red carpet, I'm like, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. Like, what kind
oh, well, that's
of, what would you say your fashion is? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I
sneakers.
Struggle when it comes
I don't...
to dressing up for things. Yeah, I'm very
I'll tell you if it looks good on me, but I'm not. Yeah, but there are things like I'll look at myself in an outfit that I'm like, no, this looks dumb on me. And the person who's, you know, helping me is like, no, wear this. And if they're convincing enough and I wear it, years later, I'll see the picture of me in that outfit. And I'll be like, that outfit is so cool. Ooh. But at the time, I'm so behind. So that to me proves that I genuinely just need somebody who knows what they're doing in that department to tell me what to do.
Yeah, to
because
dress
I
you.
Don't have personal style. I just like to be covered up and I don't know, looking cute enough.
Where I struggle is summertime where you want to go out but look nice. Like I have lots of like t-shirts. And I can just throw on a pair of shorts. But like if I like go on a date or something in the summertime and
yeah,
I don't
do
have like shorts, like it's that's where I struggle is the summertime nice clothing.
Yeah, I can
want.
See that.
That's my like wintertime, throw on a jeans and a plaid button up of some kind and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But it's the summertime where I struggle.
What are you putting on your feet?
So a lot of times it's just like the slip-on Vans.
Okay.
Or that's with like I'll wear those with jeans and shorts, but then in the wintertime, sometimes if it's obviously wintertime cold, I have a couple like Cole Haan sneakers that I'll wear.
Ooh.
Fancy.
If it's like a second or third. Day,
I am a big fan of Cole Haan.
Okay,
wow.
Fancy boy.
Right.
I didn't know.
I also have like a borderline obsession with like fun dress socks, and that's easy.
Yeah, that's a
I probably
fun,
have like 50
that's
pairs
a common
at least.
Obsession, I think. Yeah, that's fun. So like that's for weddings and stuff. That's not for
no, you life. Could. I'll wear them with like jeans and button up when I go into work.
Oh, that's fun. What a fun thing. Travis with the socks. I just said today on Highly Questionable that I don't know how to wear socks. I understand that they're in now, like showing your socks. Every time I do it, I look like a mistake. It doesn't look like I did it on purpose.
Kids nowadays, it's like the cool thing when they're wearing like their Nikes or whatever and like the socks are like showing.
That's what I'm saying. You're supposed to show your socks now. It looks but it looks cool on them. It looks so
no,
cool.
I don't think it does because I'm so like I'm stuck to what like we did that I don't think it's cool even though the masses think it's cool. Like I remember having to make my own ankle socks because back then they didn't have them. So you're rolling them down.
I love a no-show sock.
Yeah,
it is the best.
I wear socks over when it's only when I'm wearing leggings though. Do I wear socks?
And you wear
over
them over.
My
Travis
leggings
hates
and
this.
Pulls
don't
them up.
Get him.
I know
please don't work him up
this.
Into
I do it with
a lather.
Socks too. I pull them up over my leggings. But in any other situation, unless I'm wearing like tall boots to where they're gonna like rub against my ankle or something, I don't like my socks showing.
What's up with me? Oh, I don't know. I feel like I've done nothing since we talked last because it was really only 2 days ago.
Whoa, it really was.
Yeah, but four days ago you went and saw Pablo.
True,
so.
You did a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I finished in treatment. It's done. I came around on that other. Remember I told you there was a new therapist in the new season and that I wasn't sure yet. I came around on it. She's great. It's an incredible.
Better than Paul?
Season. No. Oh my God, you remembered?
I'm surprised you remembered because I definitely did.
That is the sweetest thing. I just assume you guys tune out when I do this. Yeah, it's a really good show and I really recommend it. If you like good writing. And if you don't, then don't watch
reality shows. No, I don't like good writing.
I know, but it's like you can like reality shows for that reason. I don't know. Reality shows though, you're not watching them and paying attention to every single word they say, are you?
True.
You zone out sometimes. You think about yourself, you think about other things. This show you have to like turn your brain off and focus on someone else's problems, which for me feels like a vacation.
Along those same lines, have you ever gone back and rewatched, like let's say just a season of a TV show that you really liked and there are episodes you completely
that
forgot
like, I don't
about
remember this at all.
Or like
yes,
scenes
if you ask me right
show,
now what happened in Stranger Things season 1 which I watched and loved I have
yeah,
no
it's
idea
it's the weirdest thing to me
because I fell
it's
off
like
on
I loved
it
this
don't
show
recall.
I was so invested and I watched it while it was happening and like I do this with Entourage all the time I'll go back and it's one of those shows where I can
well, that's
rewatch
a forgettable
well yeah no it very much is
watch your mouth
but
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's meant to be all the problems are resolved by the end of the episode. There's a cool cameo, some hot woman that's unattainable becomes the new it girl, and then done.
Yeah, it's very much a show that you don't have to focus on everything they're saying kind of show, but there are episodes, like I watched this religiously and binged watched it and paid attention to it. Then I'll go back. I'm like, wait, when did this happen? Who is that? Mm. Like, that happens all the time. Mm. Isn't that? I just feel like that's weird.
It is. But it's also like, how much stuff is in here, our brains, that we like need to make room for?
True.
And I used to always yell at myself because I remembered the lyrics to every song, but I can't remember like my dad's birthday.
Yeah, or and like the now... notes I just studied 20 minutes ago for an exam.
Yes. And so now when I'm like forgetting a TV show, instead of seeing it as like, man, why do I forget? I'm like, oh, hey, thanks, brain, for doing the thing I wish you did with song lyrics, which is forget them and make room for other stuff.
Yeah, file those
away.
So
I'm fine with it.
Did your parents ever, like, if you messed up on a test or something, like, you can remember these song lyrics, but you can't remember these questions?
Yeah,
like, use that as your
like, oh, you remember the most pointless things and you can't remember when it comes time to take a test. I'm like, yeah, but
I bet you know Justin Timberlake's birthday.
Yeah,
that's what my mom sounds like when she's yelling at me. She talks like this.
I still don't remember my parents' birthday. That's like why I have Facebook still.
I honestly haven't been on Facebook in I haven't been on Facebook as myself in many years.
I
check
I
it daily for the birthdays.
Well, unless yeah, I'll like if I have a notification that usually tells me like, hey, so and so's birthday is today, then I'll check it. But I'm so bad with like wishing people happy birthday. And I know that sounds bad, but I am so bad with remembering to tell people happy birthday. I can even see on Facebook like, hey, it's your friend Taylor's birthday. And then I don't go wish her happy birthday.
Yeah, I just didn't want to have to deal with the friend requests and deciding who to say who gets to It's just a very weird thing.
Is that why my request is still pending?
Probably.
No, I'm just, I didn't request.
I mean, my profile picture is still from garbage time. I haven't changed it. It's
I have no idea what mine is because I just haven't.
But I never. It's like I always saw people like accepting friend requests from people they work with, and that makes sense to me on its face. And then the other half of me is like, well, then what is the keeping me separate from public me? It was just like I don't want to have to do this dance every time. So I just didn't keep checking it. I don't check.
Maybe that's why Daniel Snyder hasn't accepted my request.
Because I don't go on my Facebook. That's
maybe he doesn't
reach.
Go on. He hasn't. He wants to keep it separated.
I'd like to think it's because Katie doesn't go on her Facebook that that's why he hasn't accepted your request.
It's somehow my fault. I don't know what I'm choking on, but it is unpleasant.
Don't die, please.
What else have I done in the last few days? I'm reading another book. But it's not like a cool book. It's like a book they referenced a lot on In Treatment that I was like, I'll read that. But it's like an old psychology book. And so while there are some truths that still ring true, there's a lot of like old ways of thinking in it. Like there's this whole part about how no woman would get her nipple pierced if everything was about her childhood was good. And it was like, whoa, what's
up?
What is this?
Hold up.
Wait a second. You were making valid points a second ago, and now there's this paragraph about, yeah, what are we doing here? It's just, you could see all the shame that's still involved in those things back then. Boy, the world. We're all trying to figure it out. Have been since the dawn of time. Ain't it something? Anything else?
No.
No. Okay. Well, that was Bantering Friend Lily, which is really what the whole podcast is now. Just kidding. We have a lot of things in the podcast today, some of which, Travis, what are some of which?
An update on Megan Rapinoe and her status.
Okay.
Playing on the United States Women's National Team.
Okay, so a correction of the record that you misspoke on last time.
I don't know.
Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Can't really tease a mistake you made last week.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, we have to. I knew he's our obvious. LeBron.
The MLB getting a little interesting.
Sexy.
On TikTok.
You could just say it. We're going to look, that's a minefield, that topic. When you said we're going to talk about it on the podcast, I was like, I've kind of backed myself into a corner here because
seen this.
Some of the stuff. Well, hold it, Christina, because when you see it, don't
I'm
click
gonna
on
wait.
It yet.
I'm gonna
don't
wait.
Click on it
I
yet.
Didn't. I'm going to
okay.
wait.
Sorry for yelling.
It's okay.
Okay,
you.
We'll get to it. What else?
An update on the taunting rule and NFL.
Anything else? Well,
you can't roll your eyes. No one sees that.
But I also went, which I think is what eye rolling sounds like.
That's like the verbal part of eye. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
It's a throat roll. Eh.
I can compare myself to Jamal Adams, and we'll find out why.
Okay. I mean,
how?
Coming up, Travis compares himself to somebody he has nothing in common with. Yeah, but I'll bet you that you could. That's not a tease. You do that all the time. You got to give the part of it that makes it. It's okay. We'll get better at this as we go. It's just the first few podcasts. But before we get to all that stuff that we're going to get better at as we go, today's podcast that you love so much is brought to you by SimpliSafe. So, Travis, dare I ask how you'd like me to talk about SimpliSafe?
In honor of the Reddit.
In honor of, meaning you stole it from. Hmm?
Yeah. I'm giving them credit.
Well, all of Reddit didn't come up with one idea.
In honor of the sports Reddit, somebody on there. A doctor with a bad bedside manner.
Travis, you've never had to do MLA format, did you? Because you don't know how to cite a source.
I did. Was I MLA? Because then I go to a website called citationmachine.com. You enter the stuff.
Yep.
Who didn't?
All right. Doctor with bad bedside manner. How are we doing today? Good. Listen, before we talk about the results of your test, and we do need to talk about them, I need to talk to you about SimpliSafe. When SimpliSafe's home security founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, designed their first security system in their kitchen, they did it for a very personal reason. Their friends just had their home broken into. That happens, you know. That happens. I have nothing to say to make you feel better about it happening. I just want you to know that it does happen. They were struggling to find a security system that was simple to set up and would make them feel safe again, which I understand. Making people feel safe is what SimpliSafe has been doing ever since that moment 15 years ago. By the way, your results are concerning. Do you have anything to say for yourself?
Can you tell me about the results?
Well, why don't you tell me about the results? Because there's no way you don't know what's been going on. Did you lie to me?
No.
And the thing is, SimpliSafe just makes it so easy. It takes like 2 minutes to customize a system on their website, simplisafe.com/Nolan. That's their website. That's not a promo code. That's if you can only order this if you go to simplisafe.com/Nolan. Everybody knows that.
Are you pushing a product while
I'm not pushing a product. Are you pushing a lie about your health? You told me you drink once a week and then you wrote next to it socially. That doesn't mean anything to me. We both know you're lying, and lying to your doctor is not okay. Back to SimpliSafe, they have highly trained security experts whenever you need them, whether that's during a fire, a burglary, a medical emergency, or even just, you know, some other lie you told. Maybe your pants are on fire because you're such a liar. You could probably, I don't know how they'd help you, but I bet they'd try. Do you think I have a bad bedside manner because everybody else in this world coddles you? I'm trying to be real with you. How many drinks per week do you have?
One socially.
Okay. And how about non-socially?
A couple.
There's always someone who has your back to keep you safe and make sure you feel safe. As my listener, what I'm willing to do for you, you can save 20% on your SimpliSafe security system and get your first month free and sign up for interactive monitoring service. Just visit simplisafe.com/Nolan to customize your system and start protecting your home and family. Because if you can't take care of your own body, the least you can do is take care of the bodies of those you love. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Rockhold? I didn't know your name. I looked at your file.
I think at least I can do that. I will set the security so that when I go to the bar for my one social drink that they're safe.
You wearing a mask?
Yep.
That's simplisafe.com/Nolan. Travis, these are hard because they get sent to SimpliSafe. And sometimes when they're like, hey, a guy who hates a person, then you're like, well, I have to also sell the product. And sometimes they get mad. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Oh, well.
We'll see. Tell me about the news. Okay. What? Oh, it's Tim. Tim has been released by the Jaguars.
They didn't. They like cut him like first thing Tuesday morning.
He didn't
like,
even get what they didn't wait.
They
till
didn't
4
p.m. even wait.
Which I guess actually is better because you don't want to like go through practice and then get cut.
Yeah, but why say you're going to do it at 4?
No, that's just the deadline. So maybe there, maybe there's like two players where you're like unsure.
So he did get. They did cut him a break. Tim Tebow can catch a break, just not a pass. Mm.
It's not his fault.
Tim Tebow's attempt to return to the NFL as a tight end after years of playing quarterback is, well, and also baseball, is over. The Jacksonville Jaguars released the 2007 Heisman Trophy winner Tuesday as part of the first round of roster cuts. Tebow posted a message on Twitter shortly after he was released in which he thanked the Jaguars for giving him a chance. Quote, thankful for the highs and even the lows, the opportunities and the setbacks, Tebow wrote. I've never wanted to make decisions out of fear of failure, and I'm grateful for the chance to have pursued a dream. Thank you to the Jaguars organization and everyone who has supported me in this journey. And we know that God works all things together for good. Romans 8:28. Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, bye.
And then it was like, after he got cut, it's like, let's just bash Tim Tebow. Like,
all right, Travis, I'm starting to notice that you're very sensitive when people say anything negative about Tim Tebow. It was a point that I tripped over last week trying to make to you, but I'm curious to know why it is you think Tim Tebow's getting picked on.
Well, I know why, but I just don't get, like, why would somebody try and something, why would you want to put him down for and bash him? So he tried to give football one last shot at a different position.
Well, just the way the world works, people put down and bash anybody who does anything. That's,
I think, and the funny thing is growing up, I was not a Tim Tebow fan, mostly because he played for Florida and beat Ohio State his freshman year. So I irrationally just didn't like him. But now I'm like, I think I'm president of his fan club. I'm not sure.
I think so, too. I think everybody agrees you are the president of his fan club. And look, I've met him. He's very nice. He was very kind.
Extremely
to
nice.
Me, as far as our personal interaction went, which, you know, they didn't run very deep, but he seemed very kind. I was a little uncomfortable by the worship for him that I witnessed from other people. People like reaching out to touch him and like asking him for their blessing. Whoa. And that's not me judging religion. I grew up in a religious house, not, you know, a strict religious house, but we grew up Catholic. It just felt very, I don't know.
People I just were very thought it was like, funny Tim! That he decided to come out of retirement very randomly just to play tight end. I just thought it was funny. I never thought it was going to go very far.
I think what's funny is that a lot of people wanted him to try to be tight end back when he insisted he was a quarterback, and he like refused to do it, and then he came back and did it, and people were like, yeah, you should have done that years ago. I think that's why.
The one thing that bothered me was the whole he's stealing a spot.
Can we be clear that more than one thing is bothering you?
Yeah,
I do not think it's the one thing that bothered
here.
You this whole thing has upset you from day one. Anything short of Tim Tebow being named the starting tight end was a slight in your eyes.
No, I was okay. Like, I didn't think he was going to make the roster, but I was okay with it. People were like, he's stealing a spot.
If he made the roster, he wouldn't be stealing a spot, and people wouldn't be saying that, I don't think. But if he was
actually good, then I wouldn't have.
He wasn't good enough to
it.
Play that position.
I think a lot of people wanted him to not get cut so then they could go, oh, Urban Meyer keeping Tim Tebow.
Which maybe they would have, but then guess who's in control of the narrative then? Tim Tebow. If you're good
exactly.
enough to make it to the football team, then go just be good enough to be on the...
And shut me up, basically.
People are always gonna say something. Always. You just have to be like, well, are these people right or are they wrong? And I think on this one, there's a lot of people who called it and then it happened. And then now they're like, people love to say, told you so. And that's what's happening now. But it'll go away. It's
We're
not anything
forget
personal.
About this in a few weeks anyway.
Yeah. If he stops trying to play sports.
if there's another sport that he's dreamt of playing, go for it. Give it a try.
You know what I think? I think that it's just like, you know, beer league. You could be owning a beer league somewhere. You could be the best guy. People could be clamoring to play with you in a pickup game of whatever you want to play, Tim Tebow. But instead, you just go do that. Just go be the biggest fish.
Yeah, I think that it's unfortunate that...
Chase your dreams, people.
Travis is like, try rhythmic gymnastics next.
To your point, Travis, I'm not...
What point?
The point that he made about how people were basically making fun of an athlete who wanted to try something new. I'm not making fun of the fact that a guy wanted to come out of retirement and try it because he's not a bad athlete. I just thought it was silly that why now? Why? Like, it was just why? And he clearly showed he wasn't good enough. So to Katie's
why
point,
not? Like, you don't want to regret it, so you give it a shot.
Somewhere.
So
do you have more you want to say?
I'm done.
Urban Meyer said, we knew that was an uphill battle for Tim. Players loved him. Locker room loved him. But it was the right thing. It's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He just had a good tight end.
Sure. Sure. And I don't see the... Everybody's just got to chill on him a little.
I'll get over it.
I don't think you will. But I look forward to talking about it again next week.
What else happened? Because there's going to be, like, games and stuff, so...
Yeah, okay. What else happened?
So do you remember the whole taunting, the point of emphasis on it?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So Giants owner John Mara is one of the people that is on the competition committee. And he came out and said that they were...
We get kind of sick and tired of talking that goes on from time to time on the field. We try to balance the sportsmanship with allowing the players to have fun. And there's always a fine line there, but none of us like to see that. It's just a question of whether you can have rules that can be enforced and without taking the fun out of the game, too. But nobody wants to see a player taunting another player. I know I certainly don't.
And to your point, how you always say is, who's we?
Yeah.
And
maybe it was the competition committee. So the first time he said it, it's...
Yeah, so I did a little. The competition committee includes Rich McKay, owner of the Falcons, John Mara, owner of the Giants, Stephen Jones... Jerry's son, who's also like president, Mark Murphy, the Packers, Ozzie Newsome of the Bears, then Mike Tomlin, John Elway, Sean Payton, and Ron Rivera. Like, maybe the competition committee should have a couple players on.
Is that allowed?
Oh, they would never do that.
I was
going
to say, is that allowed?
Never do that.
Mm-mm. I mean, it's the NFL. You make up your own rules, right? Like, you can allow anything.
No, they're not going to allow that.
And then Ron Rivera came out and was like, you know, speaking of Ford also, and his big thing is, we don't need the Pop Warner and Pee Wee football kids seeing this.
Oh, that's always the excuse.
Which is
won't
stupid.
Somebody think of the children?
Because
it's poor children.
They're seeing it in their culture. It exists. A lot of it, the funny thing is that the one that they keep talking about is the one in the Super Bowl when what's-his-face
Tyreek Hill and Antoine Winfield.
Yes, when Winfield did to Tyreek Hill what Tyreek Hill had done to him, and he gave him the peace sign, which is just a peace sign.
Awesome.
And they said that that was the thing that made them like, yeah, we got to get this out of our game. And like, look, when we talk about sports in other countries or sports in other like situations and some of the words being used in taunting, that's a different conversation, I think. I think that most of us would agree that we don't want football players to be using racial slurs and derogatory words to talk to each other on the field. That being said, flipping a guy a peace sign because he did it to you earlier in the season on the biggest stage in the sport is not something that would make me think we needed more rules. And it's just weird that these owners who are billionaires, I think, are all of them billionaires? Can you just safely say that, or do I have to say allegedly?
I would safely say.
These owners who have lots of money and control spend it trying to force respect. Like, no taunting, if you really wanted to get that mentality out of the game, would take a lot of other behind-the-scenes smaller moves than just making a rule that's like, you're not allowed to... It's weird that somebody's so competitive, because in order to get that much money, you do have to be pretty competitive in this capitalist society we live in. And Bo made a great point that some of these guys are second-generation money that don't have the same understanding of it as the people who earned it before them. But you have to have some sense of enjoying competition and, like, you know, taking... Taunting is just being like, take that.
Well, so when I was reading this, what I think is funny is you're telling a bunch of grown men who, to your point... They have to love competition. That's how they got to the highest level of competition in this sport. They should see the way I play drinking games with a bunch of my friends and how like competitive and aggressive I can get, and then tell a bunch of grown men who just worked their butt off for an entire game that if you make a great play, you can't say anything to the other player.
Risk their health.
Yeah, exactly.
Put their bodies on the line.
Exactly.
And then be like, hey, don't be proud of yourself when you finally get that guy back for the thing he did.
It's all part of the competition. And I think that if as long as I'll say what my boyfriend told me one of the first times we played drinking games and we were on opposite teams.
Oh, God.
And I got a little too competitive. He said, there's a way to talk smack and then there's a way to not. And you just got to be respectful. As long as it's all in good fun, and I say fun in air quotes as in like competition, like you're not being disrespectful, you're not using racial slurs or derogatory terms. If it's all within good, clean fun of competition, why do we care?
I know they're unrelated. It just frustrates me when it's like owners want to tell players that they have to not taunt because of the kids.
Yeah,
they want them to be respectful because of the kids. But then there's like a
they make tickets cheaper so they can go to the games.
Yes, that. But also, it's all hypocrisy because it's like, what about when there's an issue with a player off the field that fans would like you to address?
Exactly.
And they're like, no, it's fine. He's fine.
I think you shouldn't sell alcohol at your games.
Yeah, kids see that. So it's like, don't tell me about
the kids. Yeah, it's odd that they're choosing this as the prime example of how to set the example for kids when there are so many other aspects that we could be looking at where it's like, hey.
Also, LOL kids playing peewee football, barely any of them are anymore, aren't they? Isn't like peewee football just,
I don't know about that. But can we, before we finish this topic, I want to dive quickly into what drinking game do you really get like riled up the most, Christina? We need to get more into this.
I was playing Flip Cup the last time that I got really aggressive, but pretty much any drinking game. I love competition. I love playing sports. And now because I am a washed up athlete, I choose to play drinking games. So because I can no longer.
I'm washed, so I drink.
Exactly.
Therefore,
because I can no longer participate in the competition of the sports I grew up playing, I now turn to drinking games. And those drinking games are of the many variety. I can play beer pong, Flip Cup, cornhole with a drink in my hand. That's a drinking game. So, and anything.
Are you a sore loser too then?
No.
Ashley
not
is.
Not really. I don't
does.
Think so. I think that it depends if the opponent is being a sore winner, like rubbing it in my face, then I'm going to get mad. Like, why? Just
so what you do as
away.
The winner, you don't like as the
I'm a respectful winner, but I'm not. Uh-huh. I'm not going to rub it in your face, but if you rub it in my face, then I'm going to be a sore loser.
I just want to say on the record, I feel taunted by NFL owners all the time. So if it's not allowed anymore, I'd like to throw a flag on the play.
Yeah, I'd like to stop being personally victimized by the NFL owners. Thank you.
Yes.
You're also making the referees already have a hard enough job as it is. Now they have to police if someone was taunting or not.
Well, also, what constitutes as taunting? Can they say like, I don't know. Like, can they, after a play, can they like, yeah, I did it. Is that taunting? Or like, what?
Can you spin the ball?
I don't think that's ever happened. So I don't think they've ever had to answer that question. I don't think anyone's ever said, yeah, I did it.
I was.
Are you allowed to signal a first down?
I don't know. This feels so stupid. It's so dumb. There's plenty of other things that they should emphasize that should be their points of emphasis before this. Okay.
Then you put some players on the competition committee.
No.
Or at least a former player, too.
Well, a former player, I think, is a lot more likely than an active player. They'll never have an active player.
By the way, Winfield Jr. was fined for the peace sign.
That's so stupid.
And got a penalty on the field.
For the peace sign. Come on.
For the peace out that had been done to him. But I guess.
Just trying to spread peace.
Fun league, that's for sure.
What else, Travis?
So now on to Jamal Adams and how I feel I can compare myself to him.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear it. How?
I've been waiting with bated breath.
So it took 5 months of negotiations, $38 million in guarantees, and a piece of motherly advice for Jamal Adams to get his deal done. Michelle Adams had helped push the deal through. Jamal Adams said, she said my full name. And when my mother says my full name, I think I need to pay attention.
Uh-huh. That and you can relate to.
My mom, it was always Travis Abram. And then when I was like feeling cocky, then I'd go rock cold at the end. And then I'd run.
She used full name, like first, middle, and last name?
She would just say first and middle on me. And when when she used the middle name with it, that's when I was like, oh, we messed up.
Mm. I do that to myself. I don't know if my mom ever did it to me, but whenever I do something really dumb, I go, Catherine Beth Nolan. Oh my God. But I don't know if I do that because my mom did or if it's just because it's a thing that people's moms do.
I don't think my mom used it very often with me. I think, if anything, it was just like I would make like stupid mistakes. Like I accidentally backed the car up into the mailbox when I first got my driver's license. And instead of...
And who hasn't done that?
Like, you've got to take the trash out.
I know, me too. You know, I did those little things, like totaled my car. Yeah, like, you know,
it's fine. So...
Started a fire on the stove.
My mom would never say, Christina, Elizabeth. It was always my dad going, Jesus Christ, Christina. So there's a difference. Yeah. It's like, it's when my dad said that, I was like, ugh. So.
Yeah. Shout out to moms and dads.
But wait, how?
Anyway, that's not the full story. He didn't finish the actual story. So she texted him a paragraph and told me, quote, that you don't have to prove anything else to anybody. You did enough. We're happy. As long as my family's happy and I'm happy, I can come and do what I love to do. That's all that matters to me. Travis cut the story off to get to the part where he relates to Jamal Adams.
Who's surprised?
Well, yeah, that's the better part.
Says you, though. Says you.
Well, I'm the
producer. Maybe I think the paragraph
for Jamal, he got his bag.
Yeah, that's really the takeaway, is good for Jamal.
And he got paid.
For getting paid.
The deal has a max value of $72 million over 4 years, $20 million signing bonus, which includes $38 million guaranteed.
So all of you who tuned in to find out the specifics of a contract, because you know that's what we bring to you here on Sports, there those are, courtesy of Travis.
And who says we don't talk sports here?
Nobody says that. More news in a second, but today's podcast is also brought to you by Sponsor. So Travis, tell me how you want me to tell the people about Sponsor.
And your Gatorade ad voice.
Gatorade knows there are many paths to greatness. How you get there is up to you. Sometimes you gotta grind it out to get up early and put in the work, even when you're not feeling 100. 100. 100.
100?
100.
A C note?
P. Sometimes it takes staying focused on a goal, knowing where you want to be and that you'll have to pour everything in to get there. Other times, you just need to dig deep and show some guts to be brave and never let anything stand in the way of what you can accomplish. Then there are the days you just have to get in the gym and see some gains, to put in all the reps and get stronger each day. But whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to help fuel the journey, because greatness starts with G. All right. What else?
Poor Josh Rosen.
Man, how many teams has Josh Rosen been with since he was drafted?
Is this now the fifth?
This was his fourth.
Oh, I was close.
He was drafted at the 10th overall pick in 2018.
He went from, what, the Cards to the Dolphins?
Dolphins, right.
To who?
He's in the Bucs practice squad.
To the Bucs practice squad.
Oh, and
then
now
the 49ers.
To the 49ers. When Josh Rosen was first drafted, he was the one who, in his post getting draft, right when he walked off stage, his post getting drafted interview was basically like, every team that drafted before me made a big mistake not picking me because he felt like he should have been drafted like top three. I liked that, and I wished the best for him, and it's just what. I'm so sad for him. He's got like I truly felt when he went to the Dolphins, I felt like he just wasn't getting the shot he deserved because I felt like he's an actual good quarterback. But now every time he goes to a different team, I see things like he wasn't performing or obviously underperforming in practice and this and that. So is he just not good? I think I'm wrong. I think he's not good.
Well, that's how. So he gets drafted by the Cardinals. The Cardinals are epically bad. They fire the coach after 1 year.
That's why I thought it wasn't his fault. It was the situation he was dealt.
And then they take Kyler Murray. So I'm like, he just didn't get a fair shake. And then it's like,
yeah. Then he went to the Dolphins, and then they drafted.
All right,
Tua.
One team. It's like, all right, maybe not a fair shake on a bad team. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. And then it's like the Dolphins. But then the Dolphins
drafted Tua and they want him to play.
I just feel bad for him.
I do too. How do we go back to not feeling bad? I feel like most sports stories now that before I'd be like, oh, you can make a joke about this. Now I'm just like, oh, is he all right?
Yeah, like, is he okay? Because I thought he...
Let's see what his signing bonus was.
I mean, if you're going to move all around the United States, I feel all the places that he went.
He had $11 million signing bonus when he got drafted. Makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, on the bright side, he's seen a lot of the country, so...
He's been in nice places, too. Yeah, Arizona, Miami, Tampa.
Tampa? You're listing Tampa as nice places?
Warm weather. It's probably not the worst place.
Not Connecticut.
Miami? You like Miami?
Better than middle of nowhere Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Katie, I've lived in Ohio, Indiana, and Connecticut.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying, what about you screams Miami to me? You're allowed to like what you like. You don't have to just like the stuff other people say is cool.
I love the sunshine and the water.
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff.
Josh does too.
Well.
I love jorts. Jorts are big in Florida.
What in the world does that have to do with... Says who? You don't... Do you go there? Have you ever been there?
Jorts in Florida are like peanut butter and jelly. It might be the jorts capital.
I don't know.
Now that seems like something we need to explore. Is Florida the jorts capital?
I feel like California has a lot of jorts.
I feel like the Midwest has a lot of jorts too.
And they're all different genres of jorts.
Jorts capital of the world. Gainesville, Florida. I see one thing here.
You just Googled it, and now we're going to say that because some website that won't exist tomorrow said that they were the jorts capital of the world,
Listen,
is called confirmation
people
bias.
In Florida love their jorts. Guarantee
people
like,
everywhere love jorts.
Yeah, but Florida is, it's another place down there. It's like its own little country.
Okay, fine. I don't want to fight with you.
Take my word on this.
That's how I end literally every argument. I just don't want to fight with you. We're done here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, and I'm wrong.
Well, thank you.
Florida jorts. Okay, what else?
So, a man that was working for, I believe the PGA Tour stole thousands of tickets for the U.S. Open and sold them and profited more than $1 million. And apparently the FBI was the one that like informed the PGA about this.
What?
So he sold $3.4 million worth of stolen tickets.
Yeah, so a former employee of professional golf's governing body stole thousands of highly coveted tickets to one of the sport's premier events, sold them year after year, and pocketed a profit of more than $1 million, federal employees said. Prosecutors accused Robert Fryer, the former assistant director in the U.S. Golf Association, the USGA, ticketing office, of conspiring with two Eastern Pennsylvania ticket resale companies to provide 23,000 passes to the U.S. Men's Open between 2013 and 2019. That,
how many passes are there total?
Damn. That's a lot.
Like, I get if, like, each year a couple disappeared.
Sure. They allegedly paid him $1.15 million for his efforts and resold the tickets for a combined profit of $1.7 million. Prosecutors did not identify either of the implicated ticket resale businesses in announcing the charges, but the acting U.S. attorney accused Fryer of exploiting both fans and his position at the U.S. I mean, that seems like a fair accusation being levied in his direction. Dang.
I just want to know how does the USJ not...
I mean, they learned of the theft when contacted by federal authorities several months ago. They've taken steps since to implement a new ticketing platform. I mean, that is like, he got away with that for a long time, huh?
That's
from 2013
north
to 2019.
Of 3,000 tickets a year.
Man.
$3.4 million worth of stolen tickets. That's
the charges of conspiracy as well as wire and mail fraud. A conviction on the most serious count could send him to federal prison for up to 20 years.
Whoa.
Something tells me. I mean, what a crime. What a weird and specific alleged crime. Do you think that he does this in other walks of life, or do you think that this golf thing was his whole racket?
No, this was it because he worked for the USGA. So
that's
not
right.
Like,
that's right. That's right.
But if you're going to do it,
gosh,
I think you need to play like, all right, we're just going to play devil, be on the criminal side for a second here. If you're going to do it, this
alleged.
It needs to be, you need to play a long game and only steal like, you can't steal 20, you can't steal 3,000 tickets.
Yeah,
every
you gotta
year.
Steal like,
I mean, yes, you can. Yeah. And you know what says that he can? The 7 years that he did it. Six years that he did it for. Sure, but I feel like it doesn't seem like he would have been caught earlier had he done. It's like, I think he kind of nailed it. He might have gotten greedy. It's like, maybe if once you get away with that many tickets in the first year, maybe you should go down every year. But I don't know. It's weird now that titles don't really mean anything, because associate director, right? That was his title.
Yes.
Sounds to me, or assistant director.
Oh, I just said
sounds
yes.
Sounds high up enough, but it feels like nowadays that could be the entry level position. Like, I don't actually know what the assistant director does. The assistant director of the ticketing office.
Associate gets slapped on so many.
I know. So does assistant. Assistant can mean nothing. It can mean little. It can mean like, that means they're younger, but it can also mean like, no, they're actually pretty high up. They're second in command. It's very confusing the way we title things now.
I'm wondering if it's easier in golf, because I don't know if they like have an exact amount of tickets every year.
Yeah,
because
there's no seats.
Yeah, so it's like each year.
You wonder
like,
if this guy even got into golf. You wonder if he got into golf in the first place because he was like, what sport can I rise through the ranks of?
Just steal all their money.
What if the whole thing was a long con?
Or
is it more of a Breaking Bad, whereas the situation of his life dictated that he was going to
never seen Breaking
have to
Bad.
Find a foray into what?
Oh,
Travis, you would love Breaking
it's
Bad.
So
that
good.
This is just dumb of you for not having seen. It's you. Your whole personality is like, you'd love Breaking
really?
Bad.
Really?
So good.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yes.
It's so
Travis,
good.
Your life will be better after having watched Breaking Bad. That's not even a recommendation for every person out there. That's specifically for Travis.
Okay, so after Friday Night Lights,
mm-hmm.
I will then insert Breaking Bad.
Okay, that's smart.
But I don't know when I'll get to it, because I usually binge on the weekends, and we've got football coming up.
Okay.
I bet if you tried one Breaking Bad, you would
but
be like...
I heard, is Breaking Bad the one where you need to watch like 5 or 6 episodes? Like, you can't give up early?
I wouldn't have given up early, I don't think.
When they preface a new show or a show that you should watch with... Okay, but you have to get through the first few episodes.
Give
or you
it
have
two
to,
seasons.
Yeah.
Give it two Give seasons it season. Before you bail.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not
well,
doing that.
Well, now I'm already going into it thinking the first few episodes suck. Don't listen to
That's
anybody
That's like
saying
it's
that.
Like, should I date this guy? Well, get attached and then you won't break up with him.
Yeah,
and
it's like,
yeah, okay.
Well, wait a minute.
But are they the guy to date, or is it just going to be an unhealthy relationship?
It's a really, really, really,
really
The first really,
six
really
months
good
are
going
to suck, but 7 months
exactly.
in, it's
no,
going to
yeah,
be
Breaking
a great
Bad
relationship.
I think Breaking Bad was right away interesting.
I
don't
loved it from right
recall
away.
It being...
I don't understand.
Mad Men was slower. But I believe Breaking Bad was right away interesting.
No,
I've
heard people say that about Breaking Bad, where they say like the first couple episodes are super slow. Don't go into it thinking that. I loved
it right
off the bat.
I mean, I think right away the thing happens. So I don't think
from what I remember, it starts off hot.
I
like it.
If you don't like it, stop watching it. Don't hold it against me. If you don't like it, take back your time.
I won't be offended. I just
don't watch it.
You know, we might not be friends.
It just seems like you're gonna love to.
Whoa.
Once you're going to nonstop say, I'm the one who knocks. I just feel like as soon as you get what?
Christina, you can't. Katie just said, if you don't like it, stop. And like we had been good. And then you throw in that we can't be friends.
I'm
and now
kidding.
I'm
kidding.
You can't do that,
well,
Christina.
See, Christina and I are two different people. And this is a good time to remember that, you know,
yes.
Where she draws a different line. I draw a different line. We don't always draw the same line.
Most times we do draw
we
the
just
same
are parallel.
Line, but, you know,
most of them are parallel.
Sometimes.
But that's just called wisdom, you know?
Exactly.
Christina agrees with me, it's because I'm right, you know, not because...
Exactly.
If she doesn't agree with you, she has to agree with me.
Yeah, and
exactly.
You're never right. You're never right. What else? Oh, speaking of you're never right, what's this next headline say?
I corrected myself on, previously on sports, I got Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird confused.
Sports?
Mm-hmm. Then also thought they were married. They aren't married. So a few corrections that we had to make on Monday's
couple,
podcast.
Just a couple huge corrections.
Just like everything about the story.
Things that in most human lives would be the only big events you have. Retirement and marriage. And you assigned them both to Megan Rapinoe. And you were wrong. So Just a minor redaction.
But I own the mistakes.
Yes,
I was wrong.
We're trying to make you. Go ahead.
But Megan Rapinoe has been asked about her future, and she was actually on Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio, and she said she doesn't know yet.
Okay, so that's
I need
not
to take
yes.
some time to think about it, she said.
Did she go on to say, and I really wish Travis Rockhold would shut his mouth and not and keep my name out of his mouth?
I really wish she would have went on there and like, I'm thinking about it. I'm actually not retired. Katie Nolan texted me thinking that I was because her producer said I was, and actually I'm not.
I'm not, yeah.
That'd have been great
well,
promotion
for I feel
for
like
us.
You would have loved if she had said, like, the lamestream media keeps reporting that I've retired, and what she meant was you.
I would have, I like yeah, I would have loved
get
it.
A real pop out of you, yeah.
It would have
well,
made my day.
Not retired, Megan Rapinoe.
So. For now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But.
The conversation is always anguished in your mind, or people don't think about it, but I've been thinking about it a
if
lot.
If she does, I have
I
the story
will be sad.
First.
Well, can I have you not rooting for that, please?
Okay.
But if she does, you had it first.
But I had
That's
it first.
How it
I want
works.
Everybody.
That's not how it works. That if that were how it works, then you could just tweet right now that Betty White unfortunately has passed away.
No, like, why would
not,
you do it to Betty?
You can't be the first that had it. You have to
you
wait till it happens.
When it comes to like retiring, death, you can't say like at some point everyone is going to retire. At some point everyone's going to die. You can't just throw
well,
it out.
Let's
there.
Not make any sweeping accusations. I don't intend to die, so. Mm.
But for Katie and other fans, I hope that she does it, and I hope that I remain wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Travis. Katie and other fans. Notice how he separated us from himself.
I know.
Anyone who isn't a Megan Rapinoe fan, I just got
everyone but me. Yeah.
Okay, we've arrived at the worst possible topic to discuss. And again, like I said
okay,
before, this podcast famously does not objectify athletes. Christine, I'll let you know when to watch it. Don't watch it
okay.
yet. Travis, let me ask you, is the link that you put in here the one that I said I had... The one that I was like, oh, that's, well, that's something. Or is it the first one?
It's the first one.
Oh. All right. Well, so
oh.
I guess Major League Baseball has been using TikTok, you know, the way people use TikTok. But it's just, I guess, alarming because it's Major League Baseball. And it's, they're kind of using memes and TikTok. I don't know. I guess memes is the
trends.
Word, but it's like trends, yes, to... sexualize their athletes. So Christina, you can watch this first one.
Okay.
But it's the second one that got me.
See, it was the first one that got me.
Huh?
So what tell us what you see.
No.
Please?
No. Why?
Gonna need you to talk?
No. This
what
is
did you
so
see?
Bad. Why?
What is
it's
it?
It's just a bunch of players with the voice in the background. And it's just so bad. Just a bunch of players with hard eyes, and they're saying that they're all hot. They're all hot.
It's the I like you have a cupcake.
Yeah,
thing.
I like you have a cupcake. I
We're just
like
gonna
you
play
have
it.
A cupcake.
You have a cupcake. I like you have a cupcake. Smack my like the trunk.
Yeah, not
yeah. good. So it's Shohei Ohtani for the first I Like You Have a Cupcake. This is me describing TikToks. Welcome to Katie Describes TikToks. Then it's a picture of Vlad Guerrero Jr. when it's like, I like you have a cupcake. And then the last part that it says is to Fernando Tatis.
Smack my butt like a drum.
I mean, I don't know.
Why?
Okay, but then. Okay, now, Christina, let me send you the other one.
It gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
And not worse. I wouldn't say worse. I would say that first one that one is worse, I guess. And
it's like they doubled down.
Worse. Sure. This was like, oh. But it also was, I don't know, I don't want to say this, but this one is objectively sexier. I'm not trying to say it. I'm
the
just
production
trying to
is
say
sexier.
The production of this one is sexier. This one you could say, I don't know, works better. I'm trying to copy the tweet, Christina. I'm just very flustered. Give me 1 second.
Take all the time you need.
Do you want me to send it to her?
No. I'm putting it in the app right now, right in the doc.
No.
Wait.
Ah,
see your face?
No.
Did you see your face, though, Travis? You saw it.
No.
I mean... I mean, no. Can you describe it, please?
It's try just so. Is this so? It's that it's the music where it's like put your head on my shoulder, because he like it, the beat drops and he's now. First of all, is this Fernando?
Yes.
He's walking slowly towards the camera, just throwing a ball up and down. And it's very nice at first, and then all of a sudden,
it shows a guy
the beat drops.
Being cute, and then the beat drops, and he gets real.
Now he's
it gets
in like a red room, and you just see mm-hmm. his like mm-hmm. outline, mm-hmm. and it.
Yeah, that's what the trend.
Oh,
is
I get
on
it. I'm just
TikTok.
Describing it for mm-hmm. those who don't know the trend. Mm-hmm. And so now he's uh-huh. sexy dancing mm-hmm. in the red light.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about TikTok trends. Sometimes they work. And so
sometimes
that one, let me say this. Can I say this? It resonated. Can I say that one resonated with me? Is that safe? Am I allowed to have my own without?
Do you?
Can I say?
Yes, you can.
That I am the target audience of that post. Yeah.
We should add that. So he had been out with an injury and he returned. Mm-hmm. And so
this was
TikTok
his return?
Really. TikTok really leaned into Fernando's back, and we are going to put out some TikToks to
and
promote him being back.
Was it a bad strategy? I don't think any of us could say that.
I just want to know who in the, like, I'm just imagining that the people that run the TikTok account, nobody like talks to them or whatever. And they just are like on an island just doing and like MLB.
You know what?
Like,
my interaction with the Jesus, these glasses are falling off my face. My interaction with the people who have to do social media for a big entity is that usually, I mean, very hardworking, but they're not, and this isn't true of every organization, but they're not always able to just walk up to an athlete or person and be like, hey, bud, I need this thing now. A lot of times the relationship is like, can we just get this real quick for social? And what I think I like about what Major League Baseball is doing, and I'm not even entirely sure that I like it, other than liking it as a consumer, kind of, in this way that I'm trying to dance around, it seems like the players are in on it, and I hope.
I mean,
they
I
are,
hope so.
That they're
based
kind
on
of,
this one,
yeah.
I don't know, but the first one with the cupcakes and the drums.
Well, that was just very clearly.
The players have no idea about
that
time. One.
Like they're just like slow mo. Like it's an ISO of just them. So it's like a
yeah. Those are just videos that yeah. stock video that they have. B-roll that they have. Mm-hmm.
Fernando danced for.
Well, he didn't dance. Let me say less about what he did. Let me not talk yeah. anymore about
he
what he does
his
in
hair,
that video.
Moves around. Just go watch. Go watch.
But we don't know if he made that
or don't.
That video for with that song intended.
Yeah, but you think so. Why else would they say, "Hey, can you flip your hair back and run your hands through it like you just got out, like you're in Wild Things?" Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe it's the cynic in me that's like, man, they've been sexualizing female athletes since jump. So I don't, it's tough to be upset. As long as they're, look, consent is important. As long as this is something that your player also wants to do, then I say go
if
for
he's
it.
Cool
but if this
with
is
it.
Some weird, yeah, that first one's a little weirder because, like you said, it's like stock footage and then they're basically putting emojis on it. And I think it's a lot funnier if the real story is that Major League Baseball had no idea this had anything to do with sex. That they were all just like, what do you mean? It's a TikTok
yeah,
trend.
Yeah, they're like, that's
like,
what all the kids are doing.
Did you listen to what the sound said?
Rob Manfred's like, TikTok, what is that?
Yeah, I don't think. Yes or no? Does Rob Manfred know what TikTok is?
I mean, my.
I'm going to say business-wise,
no.
Yes.
Grammy? My grandma like, called it a tic-tac this weekend, so.
Well, that's, I mean, perfect.
No, I
that's
mean, she wasn't wrong.
Perfect.
I mean, she was. Yes. She's probably asking you for a tic-tac.
She said she very clearly said, "Oh, what's a TikTok?" And I said, "Oh, it's TikTok, but you're so cute." So I you know, if they don't know what's going on.
What do you think is on Rob Manfred's For You page? Actually, I don't want to know.
Yeah, you know.
Not the cupcakes and drums.
All right. Don't sexualize athletes.
Unless they want to be.
But if I yes, unless they want to be,
because if Fernando's
can someone
cool
let
with
me know
this,
if he wanted
cool
to be sexualized in this clip, so I can know if I like this clip or not.
But for the record, we did not sexualize them.
No. And any sexualization you think you might have heard, that's you projecting. Okay, I am not still watching this clip at all. So that's you that's doing that. Maybe take a cold, hard look at yourself in the mirror, okay? Be the change you want to see in the world.
Maybe a cold shower.
Maybe a cold shower. Maybe take the rest of the day off. A lot of things you could take, but Travis, you want to play voicemail?
Hi, Katie, Travis, and Christina. This is Emma from Connecticut. And with the announcement of Carly Lloyd retiring today, my question is, if you could see one athlete come out of retirement and then do a new, different sport, what athlete would you want to see? Which sport would you want to see them do, and why? Love you, mean it. Bye.
Well, the easy answer, well, one of
Megan Rapinoe.
Is she's not retired.
Soccer.
Carly Lloyd. Football. We've already seen that she can kick field goals.
Okay.
Is that your answer, Travis? Because something tells me you might be pandering.
I've got more.
Okay.
Tim Tebow, handball.
I mean,
he needs to stop trying, though, is what we've been getting at.
A question about you need a player to come out of retirement, and you're going to say Tim Tebow when he quote-unquote retired. I don't even know if that's official. Like a day ago? Pick somebody that you miss.
All right, my turn. I'm going to go Big Poppy, David Ortiz. I want him to play. I want him to play. Something fun like cornhole or something. Like I want like nothing that's because I know physically he can't run. He can't do anything. Whoa, that's
easy.
No, he can't. We just, that's why he retired.
We just tiptoed a whole sexualization of.
I'm not sexualizing.
I would like Dennis Rodman to be a boxer.
Who?
I would like Dennis Rodman to be a boxer.
Interesting. You know what I hate about questions like this? It's exactly why
you scan every sport.
Yeah, you know, it's exactly why I'm just not a test taker. And why, like, in certain trivia, I just blank. It's like when you ask the question, you could ask me this in any other setting, and I might be able to come up with 50 people. But then right now, because it's important, I can't think of anybody.
What you have to do is just relax your mind and think. But for me, I run through all of the sports that exist and all of the retired players. I'm trying to do two streams of thought at once, and I can't find them both at the same time. You need to trust yourself. You know the answer. Because I used to be that way, where it was like, oh no, they need me to answer. And now you just have to be like, answer. But this is hard because it's two categories.
Calvin Johnson and getting an NBA.
Okay.
That could be interesting.
Sure. How about?
All I can think about right now is I just want to build
Nate Robinson.
Not boxing.
Horse racing.
Huh.
That
could get fun.
I'd watch that.
That could be fun.
I'd watch that. Yeah.
One that's a cheating answer is Tony Romo in golf.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that's just like an easy.
That's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's an easy. Happen. Isn't he basically already there?
Maybe on PGA Tour though.
Peyton Manning competitive grilling.
That would be sick.
It'd be fun to watch grill.
I don't think Peyton Manning would be that good on the grill. I don't think he's that good.
No, I could see him being like a master barbecue guy.
Like a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I see him as the basic, like, what are we going to have? And all he has is burgers and dogs.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but I bet he's
like, I don't see him
Manning.
I don't see him manning the smoker.
I could see Eli Manning being like a really good fisher.
I don't need to see any more of him. He can stay retired. I'm good with Eli Manning. No disrespect.
I'm solid. Thanks, though.
I'm trying to think. There's got to be a good one out there.
Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade.
Poker.
And I was going to say the long jump.
Oh.
Maybe Vince Carter. I'm just thinking of like people that can dunk. And Vince Carter for the high jump. Dwayne Wade.
I had this really dumb idea for a sketch that never turned into anything, so I'll just blow it here. But if we ever got Vince Carter, I wanted to do like an interstitial where it's just him at a restaurant ordering chicken fingers, and then when he orders dipping sauces, the like waiters can't control themselves. They're like, "Are you gonna dunk it?" And then they just keep every time he goes to a restaurant, they're like, "Are you dunking it? Can I watch you dunk it?"
That would be amazing.
No, it's stupid. So it never turned into anything. Vince, but so there's that.
Vince
idea.
Was also like one of my favorite players growing up. So yeah. Maybe that's.
I mean, he's a blast to watch. So of course. Anyway, that kind of answers your question, Emma.
I feel like kind we let of. Emma down.
I mean, I feel like we let everybody down. All
no,
the time.
I feel like Ben, we really actually.
No, Ben, I feel like I was too mean and Ben's going to be upset.
No, I feel like we set Ben up perfectly. We gave him, we presented all the information.
Don't mind me. I'm just scrolling to the top of the doc because I forgot what the first question was. The bartender one. Yeah.
Should I date my bartender?
No, I think we gave him great advice.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Sports. Every time we do two now, at the end of the second one, I'm like, oh, that's the end of the stuff I like doing this week. And now I got to wait till Monday to do this again.
Sad.
Shout out to Simply Safe and Gatorade. oh, don't miss Abby's Places. It's a new ESPN Plus series.
She's
from
retired.
Soccer superstar Abby Wambach. She is retired. Again, Abby's Places. If only her name started with a P, like the guy who the show was originally named for. Abby takes you around the country to the heart of soccer history. They should call it Abby's
Arrangement.
Abby's Arrangement. No.
Abby's Alleyways.
Atlas. Abby's
oh,
Atlas.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It takes you around the country to get to the heart of soccer history and its cultural impact. Abby's Place is now streaming only on ESPN Plus. Big thanks to you guys for listening now and then a second time later on a different streaming service. Just two is fine. I liked our Monday podcast this week. I wasn't here for this podcast this week today. I wasn't good.
So go listen to the other one.
I feel like
you had a performance review.
So I was going to ask you, how did I do today?
It was good. Yeah, you did good.
I after Monday's podcast, I went and ran some extra laps and watched some
you
film.
Did. Oh, good, did some good, self-reflection.
I was good. Tuesday. Oh. I was oh. really nervous. Like, I turned my phone in airplane mode for a while. So, like, if she's gonna call, and it won't ring. I didn't want you to call and cut me, and so I was a little nervous there for a while. But
yeah, I didn't call, but it wasn't because I wasn't supposed to cut you. But now that we're here, you made it. You made the cut.
For now, but then we have another.
Tim Tebow instead, so I called in a favor.
I'm okay with that.
So. Now,
you understand giving up his place for somebody.
I would have sacrificed myself for Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm.
I bet you would have. And honestly, you're not alone. Unfortunately, that's what scares me. Or you could leave us a nice review wherever you're listening to this podcast, which Travis reads and he loves him so much. Like this one from Mr. Unlimited Jr. God, remember when Russell Wilson was doing that? Is he still doing it?
I hope not.
The worst bit. Unlimited. Oh God, I want to punch myself in the face just saying it.
Do it.
This is one of the best pods about sports, ranked somewhere between 1 and 20, allegedly. I see a lot of people in sports media tweeting out where they are on the sports podcast charts, and I'm like, God, imagine checking, because I don't want to know.
But see, I think this person, I read it as whenever we're talking numbers, we're always like, plus or minus.
Yes, I know that
we're
joking.
That's the joke.
Just moving on to a different
I didn't know if
point.
You got the joke.
No, I got the joke. You didn't know if I got the joke?
She created
it's
the joke.
Right. I got it. Oh, no, I think Travis might have actually created that one by accident. Either
look at
way,
you not agreeing with Christina. Well played.
I just find it funny. I was standing up for you. The cultural dynamics of this podcast are all off. I got to get out of here. I got to get back in bed. Lastly, don't forget that you can always leave us a voicemail that we'll fight about at 860-506-5571. Say goodbye, Christina.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Travis.
Goodbye.
What? Huh?
Goodbye.
Okay.
Bye, I love you. And boy, do I mean it.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.